Morning. It's still morning. We still have 2 minutes to go. Good morning. My name is Corey Johnson, and I'm one of the teaching pastors here at Shelter Rock Church, and we're thrilled and happy to have you worshiping with us today. We have a unique setup today in that we have both services, you know, converging just because, you know, of the Long Island Marathon that we had this morning. We were only able to have this one service, but you're able to make it, and that's great. Amen. Are you glad to be here?
Yes.
Are you happy to be here?
Yes.
Awesome. Awesome. So over the past few weeks, we've been looking at this series entitled Pray Like Jesus. And what we've been doing is that we've been looking at the book of Luke, and we've been stopping at key points, and we've been seeing what Jesus has to say about prayer, and we've been trying to extract some nuggets, if you will, some truths, some principles from these texts to see, okay, how can we live our lives in a way that pleases God, especially in the area of prayer? In our first series, if you remember, Craig Mueller, he spoke about this idea of being persistent in prayer. And he emphasized the idea that when it comes to prayer, we should always pray and not give up. If you were here last week, you'll see where we spoke about this idea of being passionate or having a passion for prayer. And we learned three things last week: that number one, our passion should be fueled by our love. Our passion should be fueled by our love. Secondly, we also learned that our prayer should be ignited by something that makes our heart bleed. And in the case of Jesus, it was the temple. And finally, our passion should be controlled by our purposes and God's promise for our lives. Amen? And so today, as we continue in that text, as we continue in the series, we want to speak about the integrity of prayer. And if you have your Bibles, turn with me to St. Luke chapter 20. St. Luke chapter 20. It's on the screen if you don't have your Bible, so that's fine. It's interesting, the tradition that I grew up in, everyone brought their Bibles to church. And when you were preaching, you were just here, you're just waiting for the leaves of the Bible to flip. And you know that people are tracking you. But I guess since it's on the screen, we'll begin. Is that all right? Okay, St. Luke chapter 20, verse 45. Here begins. While all the people were listening, Jesus said to his disciples, "Beware of the teachers of the law. They like to walk around in flowing robes and love to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces and have the most important seats in synagogues and the places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses and for a show make lengthy prayers. These men will be punished severely." Let's bow our heads as we begin. God, we thank you for your mercies and your grace and your truth. We thank you, O God, for your love. We thank you, O God, for all that you've done for us and indeed what you're still doing for us. So, God, as we approach your word this morning, God, we do so with humility of mind and with spirit. And we ask, God, that as we encounter you in your word this morning, will you speak to us in a unique and in a very personal way? Father God, help us to see you more clearly this morning, especially in the area of prayer, as we wait on you and tell you thanks. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. The integrity of prayer. Many of us would agree with me this morning that when it comes to living our lives, we live our lives in different contexts. What do I mean by that? We live our lives, and depending on how complex or how simple our lives is, we live our lives in different situations. So if you are a parent, when you're home, you are a parent or you are a wife. When you go to work, you are a business executive or you're a manager or you're a frontline worker. When you take your kids to the soccer field, you're a soccer mom or a soccer dad, whatever it is. But the reality is that we all live our lives in different contexts and in different places and in different times. Now, the issue with that is that if you're not careful, you will put on a different hat based on the situation you're in. You will wear a different hat depending on the situation you're in. And when it comes to this idea of integrity, integrity speaks of the idea that there are some core fundamental principles, there are some core fundamental principles or ideas, if you will, that defines who you are. And regardless, irrespective of the situation that you find yourself in, those core fundamental values are the same, irrespective of where you find yourself. And that is the idea of integrity. Integrity speaks of this idea of being consistent no matter where you are. Being consistent no matter what situation you put yourself in. Being consistent no matter what time of the day it is. That is what the idea of integrity entails. It has the idea that I am intact no matter what is going on around me. Amen? Now this has implications, if you will, as it relates to the area of prayer. Because if any of us are, if we're honest with ourselves this morning and you're in church, we have not always been consistent in prayer. Amen? Okay, I'm the only one. Okay. We have not always been consistent in prayer. And that is fine. But what we want to do here this morning is that we want to talk, what I want to share with you is a simple framework, if you will, as how can I be more consistent in my prayer life? And even as I'm praying, what are some of the things that I can be thinking about? What are some of the things that I can be considering as I develop my prayer life? Is that okay? Prayer is important because sometimes if we're not careful, we think of prayer as a shopping list. How many of us have ever gone shopping? Yeah, you have your grocery list, and what do you go? You go down the aisle and you begin to check them off, don't you? And if you don't have it in this grocery store, you have in mind another store that you're gonna get this item. And if we're not careful, we will think of prayer as a grocery list, as a shopping list, where we present to God the shopping list. And we say, God, okay, I'm going to check this off. But the reality is that prayer is not about your shopping list or your grocery list. Prayer has a deeper meaning than that. Prayer is not about you bringing your petitions. It's not only about you bringing your petitions to God, but prayer is about a divine connection with God. In my previous church and even growing up through the church, there have been individuals that, when they pray, it's as though they're touching heaven. When they open up their mouths to pray, it's as though they have a divine connection to God. And that is what prayer is. It's a divine connection. But not only is it a divine connection, prayer is also a place of revelation. It's a place of revelation. What do I mean by that? It is in prayer that we hear from God and we hear God's will for our lives. Some of us in this room, we're looking about and we're going about all different places trying to find out what God's will is for my life. God, what it is you want me to do? God, what direction do you want me to take today? The place that you're going to find that is in prayer. It's a place of revelation. And finally, prayer is a place where we open up ourselves to God in a unique way where you reveal yourself to God and you're saying, okay, God, this is who I am. This is what I'm going through. This is what I'm experiencing, God. I invite you into my life. Amen? Prayer is more than a shopping list. Prayer is a divine, it's a sacred act. It's a place of intimacy where you connect with God and He connects with you and He reveals some things to you. Amen? And so this morning, as we talk about this idea of the integrity of prayer, one of the first things we want to talk about this morning is how not to pray. How not to pray. How not to pray. So if we look at our text this morning, St. Luke chapter 20, we see here where the Bible says that while all the people were listening, Jesus said to his disciples, and I want to set the context here. If you remember from last week, Jesus has entered Jerusalem and he has made his way towards the temple. And if you remember, he was tearing up the temple courts last week. Yes? Yes? Okay, good. He was driving sellers out of the marketplace. And so with that one act, there was a bullseye that was placed on him. In other words, the religious leaders of the day wanted to kill Jesus. But because Jesus was a man of purpose, he knew the promises of God. He did not allow that to deter him from doing what God called him to do. And so the Bible said that every day he would go back to the temple, even though he was, you know, they were out to get him. He would go back to the table, to the temple. He would teach the word of God. And the Bible tells me that the people hung on every word that he spoke. And so he continues to teach. And in this particular context, he's in the temple again teaching. And so Jesus continues and he issues a warning. And he says, beware of the teachers of the law. Beware of the teachers of the law. They like to walk around in flowing robes and love to be greeted with respect in the marketplace and have the most important seat in the synagogue and the places of honor at the banquets. And one of the first things that we want to observe this morning about their behavior, if you will, is that they had an excessive focus on public perception. They had an excessive focus on public perception. In other words, all they were about was respect, how they were being viewed in the terms of being respected by those around them. They wanted to be in the places of honor, and they wanted the most important seats in the house. In other words, they were intoxicated with pride and power. And when it comes to praying, that's not what praying is about. Praying is not about how people are going to perceive you. No, praying is about how God is going to interact with you. Amen? But these people, instead of honoring the role, instead of honoring the capacity that God had placed them in, they made a mockery of it. They had made it all about them instead of making it all about the people. As we continue, Jesus issues his warning. He continues. He says in verse 47, they devour widows' houses. They devour widows' houses. The second thing we want to notice here is that they lack compassion for those in need. They lack compassion for those in need. And if you've been tracking with us in this series of teaching, if you will, you will understand that the widow was symbolic of the person who was the weakest member of society. Here's a woman who, most likely she was married, husband died, and if she doesn't have any children, now she's left with a farm, if you will, and house. And if you know anything about taking care of a house, and when you have a mortgage payment and you don't have any source of income, what happens? The debtors come in and they take your property. And this was what these people would do. The person who was most in need, they would go and they would devour their houses. They lacked compassion for those in need. Instead of praying for the weak, they actually prayed on the weak. Instead of praying for the weak, they actually prayed on the weak. They took advantage of those who were weak and those who were poor. And finally, Jesus says in this passage, and for a show, they make lengthy prayers. For a show, they make lengthy prayers. See, these people, they were consumed by a grand display of their piety. In other words, instead of thinking about their religious duties and their religious activities as something that is private, if you will, and something that is internal, no, they wanted to make a public display of their piety. Because why? They were all about lifting up themselves. And so this morning, as we think about this, when it comes to prayer, you do not want to approach prayer like the way these religious leaders did. They had an excessive focus on public perception. They lacked compassion for those in need. And finally, they were consumed by a display of their piety in front of everyone. Now, as I was thinking about this text this week, it occurred to me that there are only a handful of people I know that can preach an entire sermon from just two verses. And I'm not one of them. And so what we're going to do right now is that we're going to turn to another passage of Scripture, and we're going to get a better model for what prayer is. Now we know how we should not pray. We want to talk about how should we pray. And what we're going to do is turn to St. Luke chapter 18, and we're going to see where Jesus speaks of the idea of prayer and see then how should we pray as it relates to being children of God. St. Luke chapter 18. I'm just going to read it. It says, this is still Luke speaking. to some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. So on the onset, we know what the parable is about. It's about those who lift themselves up and look down on others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. And if you know anything about tax collectors at this time, they were treated as the worst of sinners. If you were a tax collector, you were an outcast, all right? So you have a religious leader who is a Pharisee, and you have a tax collector who is representative of sinners. Here's what Jesus says. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I'm not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, even like this tax collector right here. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all that I get. Do you see anything wrong with that prayer? Everything is wrong with that prayer, isn't it? I mean, he goes up to God, you know, he's bold and, you know, audacious, goes up to God, hey God, I thank you that I'm not like everyone else. Immediately he begins to compare himself in prayer. I'm not like evildoers, I'm not like adulterers, and guess what, Jesus? I'm not like this guy right here. Wrong approach to prayer. Wrong approach to prayer. Jesus continues. Verse 13. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He did not even count himself worthy to come close to the temple of God. He stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven. Do you see his humility? He would not even look up to heaven because of his respect and his revere of God. But he beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Seven words, and that was his prayer. God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Verse 14, I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and all those who humble themselves will be exalted. See, the reality is, when it comes to prayer, we cannot separate the way we pray from what we believe. We cannot separate what we do from what we believe. And what you believe about prayer will drive how you pray. Do you understand? What you believe about prayer will drive how you pray. And so what I want to do here this morning for the rest of our time together is just to discuss a simple framework, if you will, for how one can pray consistently as you approach God in prayer. Before I move forward, let me say this. All of us need to be taught how to pray. I don't know about you, but if you're a new believer, this is critical for you because your growth and your development and your closeness to God and how your relationship evolves with God is going to depend on how you pray. Everyone has to be taught how to pray. In fact, Jesus' disciples, do you know the Lord's Prayer? We all know the Lord's Prayer, right? If you look in Luke, you will see where that prayer was born out of the disciples' desire to learn how to pray. In fact, they were listening to Jesus praying, and they were so impressed by how he was praying that they said, Jesus, teach us how to pray. And then Jesus says, whenever you pray, say. Even Jesus' disciples were taught how to pray, and we too need to learn how to pray. Amen? Amen? So the first thing I want to talk to you this morning about is this. As we think about the integrity of prayer, the first things that we should consider is that we ought to be reverent in our approach to God. First thing. We ought to be reverent in our approach to God. And reverence, all reverence means is that you stand in awe of him. He's not your buddy. He's not your best friend. And even though we talk about all these things, he is God. He is God. And the key questions or the key issues that we have to deal with here is that is when we approach God, who is this God that we are praying to? Is this a God that we created by our own imagination, or is this the God that is revealed in Scripture? Is this a God that we can just put in our back pockets on Monday through Saturday, and then on Sunday we take him out? Or is this the God who is the creator of heaven and earth? Is this the God who is in charge of everything? Is this the God who has complete control over every situation that is going on in life? And if he is that kind of God, if he is the creator and we are the creature, it means then when we approach God, we have to approach God on his terms, not on ours. We have to be reverent in our approach to God. And as we saw this tax collector, even though his activities said that he was a sinner, you saw where his heart was in the right place. The Bible says he would not even approach the temple. He stood at a distance. He hung his head low. Why? Because he revered the God of heaven. We have to be reverent in our approach to God. Amen? Speaks of our theology of God. It speaks of what do we believe about him. In Hebrews tells us that anyone who prays, anyone who approaches God must believe that he is. If you're going to pray to God, you must believe that he exists. And not only that, but he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. We must be reverent in our approach to God. Proverbs 1 verse 7 says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. And what the author here is saying is that, listen, when we fear, when we revere God, it's the beginning of instruction. It is the beginning of wisdom. It is the beginning of a new life. Revere God. The second thing is this: we must be brief in words. We must be brief in words. And as I was preparing for the message today, I found this this clip on Google. Says, come here, our pastor. He's not very good, but he's short. And as I thought about that, I thought that, listen, if I was the pastor of this church, I must be very secure, because short is very ambiguous right there. Am I short in stature or am I short in speech? Right? I would have to talk to the board about that one, but but let's continue. We must be brief. We must be brief. Not only should we, and when we talk about brief here, we're talking about quantity of words and time. Quantity of words and time. And what we're talking about here, the core question is this: what are we trusting to make our prayer effective? What are we trusting in to make our prayer effective? Jesus says this in St. Matthew chapter 6, verse 7. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do you see what Jesus is saying? Saying, when you approach me, be reverent. But not only be reverent, be brief. Because it's not in the quantity of your words that's gonna cause me to hear you. It's the state of your heart. It's the state of your heart. Now, I must say that this idea of being brief has a certain context associated with it, doesn't it? Because if you come to a prayer meeting service, don't expect a prayer meeting service on a Tuesday night to be 5 minutes. You're in the wrong place. Okay, somebody will get that next week. Right? When you come to a prayer meeting service on a Tuesday night or on a Wednesday night or whenever it is, you expect to be there for a while, because what? You're engaging in a different type of prayer. You're engaging in intercessory prayer. And when you're engaging in intercessory prayer, that takes time. But if somebody comes up to you and say, brother, sister, can you pray for me? And they have a train to catch in 5 minutes. Come on, don't be praying for 20, Lord Jesus. Don't be praying for 15, 20 minutes. No, just pray for the person, have them move on and bless them and move on. Amen? Amen? Some of you are like, pastor, what are you talking about? The reality is that some of us, we come from a different background where brief and prayer don't go together. Okay, let me tell you what I'm talking about. In my background, you know, when we went to church, you had intercessory prayer, which was the first prayer. And that was about an hour, intercessory prayer. And after intercessory prayer, the folks come in, and, you know, before the preacher went on, you had, you know, opening prayer. And that was another 15, 20 minutes. Am I alone here? Come on, don't leave me up here by myself. Okay, thank you. That was another 15, 20 minutes. And before the preacher went on, he was going to pray or she was going to pray another 10 minutes. And after the preacher prays, that's another 10 minutes. And oh, Lord, if there's altar call, forget it. We're going to be there all day. So I appreciate prayer. But Jesus is saying, listen, Don't think that your many words are going to impress him. What's going to truly impress him is the state of your heart. Amen? Be brief. And finally, the last point we want to make this morning is not only should we be reverent in our approach to God, not only should we be brief in our words, but we should be honest in our confessions. We should be honest in our confessions. What I want to say here is this. Prayer is not a place to hide. Prayer is not a place to hide. Prayer is the place that you open up to God. And the question that you have to deal with and I have to deal with here is, can the real you stand up? You see, I don't know about you, but whenever I mess up, I don't want to look at me. Whenever I do something wrong and I know it's wrong, the first thing I want to do is to run away and hide. And that's true for many of us in here. And it was especially true from our forefathers, our first father. Remember Adam and Eve, when they sinned? The first thing that they did was they made leaves and they covered themselves. But as God called them, they not only covered themselves, but the Bible tells me that they ran and they hid. And the reality is that many of us, we've been hiding from God ever since. And so when we come to God in prayer, listen, God knows everything about you even more than you do. The Bible tells me that he knows our thoughts afar off. Even before you begin to think the thoughts that you have, God knows them already. And God is saying, hey, when you come to me in prayer, don't come and put on a makeup. Don't come and think that, okay, I'm going to dress up God. I'm all this and a bag of chips, and I'm good. No. God is saying, no. When you come to me in prayer, be honest. Sometimes when it comes to prayer, all you can do, and I don't know about you, but God, it's me. Yeah, God, it's me, Sandra. It's me, Peter. God, it's me, John. God, it's me, Corey. It's me again, God. It's me. God is saying, listen, when you approach him that way, man, there's just no telling what God can do. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, he says, if we confess our sins, so it tells me that if I'm going to confess my sins, I must be aware of my sin and I must acknowledge my sin. Does that make sense? So if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to purify us of all unrighteousness. But guess what? We must be honest. Amen? We must be honest. As I close, I've been reading this book. I don't do a lot of book recommendations. By this author called Robert Mulholland. And he wrote this book called Invitation on the Journey. And in this he writes, he says, prayer draws us into God's involvement into the brokenness of the world on God's terms, not ours. One more time. Prayer draws us into God's involvement in the brokenness of this world on God's term, not ours. What does he mean? Means that when you approach God on his terms, He's going to reveal some things to you. He's going to show you his purpose. He's going to show you your destiny. He's going to show you your purpose. But the question is, can you submit to his terms? God wants to use all of us in this place this morning, but it's not going to be on your terms. It's going to be on his. Amen? Amen? So when we think about the integrity of prayer, and as the praise team come, when we think about the integrity of prayer, number one, let's approach God with reverence. Number two, let's be brief. And number three, let us be honest in our confessions. Amen? Could you stand with me? I don't know where you are this morning, but that's God's word to us this morning. How have you been approaching God? Have you even considered that you're approaching the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Creator of heaven and earth? That's God. Come on. That's God. And as we think about approaching him, have we just been rambling over our words? We're not focused. We're not intentional in what we say to him. Or do we just say any and everything that comes to our mind? And most importantly, have you been truly honest? Has a real you shown up in your prayers? Or are you still wearing the mask? This morning, this is your moment. This is our moment to start to exercise in that. Amen? So bow your heads with me. Father God, thank you for your word to our hearts this morning. Thank you for the truth that is found in your word. Father God, we've been searching all over to find what gives life. But we've come to realize, God, that it is your word that gives us life. It is you that gives us life. And so, God, as we deal with this issue of prayer, help us, oh God, not to walk out of this place feeling guilty or feeling burdened. That is not what this is about. This is about coming to terms with our relationship with you. I pray, dear God, that whatever it is that is going on in our hearts, that you will restructure the very foundation of our hearts, mighty God. Restructure our affections. Restructure the wounds of our heart, so that they might be oriented to you in prayer. Father God, thank you for the blessings that you will pour into our lives as we approach you with reverence, as we are brief in our words, and as we are honest in our confessions. Take this time together, God, and bless us. In Jesus' name we pray.